You can go ahead in 2 Timothy today. I told you back a couple weeks ago we were going to be wrapping up with our Old Testament supporting cast members. And then last week we went right back to the Old Testament again. We had one last one to get into. But today we're going to continue our series on the supporting cast and learning lessons from the lesser known characters in Scripture. But we'll be looking in the New Testament. And today, this will be Mother's Day edition, okay? We're going to be looking at a mother in the New Testament, learning some lessons from her, and we're going to be seeing a godly mother. And so that can kind of contrast a little bit with last week. Last week, we had Miriam, and in her life, we found that she started out well, didn't she? She started out, we find whenever we first see her in Scripture, that she is happily serving. She is courageously serving as she is there ministering to her mother and her brother and to Potiphar, where'd that come from? To Pharaoh, there you go, one of those P words, to Pharaoh's daughter there. And so anyway, she was courageously serving. We find her later on and she is praising God, but something happens over time and she is no longer serving, she is no longer praising, but she becomes cynical and she becomes critical and she becomes bitter and she starts speaking out against Moses and starts seeing all the injustices toward her. And she starts focusing on the problems in her life and the shortcomings in her life and how she should be the one in charge instead of Moses. And so all of these things come together just because of the circumstances that she's went through. And so from Miriam, we learn that we have to guard our hearts. We have to be careful because the circumstances of life, the situations that come along will bring bitterness into us. It'll bring a critical spirit into our hearts. It will cause us to lose our focus. It'll cause us to lose our song. It'll cause us to lose our heart of service. And it will cause us to shrivel up like Miriam did. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to guard our hearts because life has a way of doing that. And so last week was just somewhat of a reminder for us to be on the lookout, to be careful of these things because this is what happens in our lives. And so don't let it happen. You don't want to end up that way. And you don't have to end up that way. Okay, and so that was our challenge from last week, but this week we are going to be looking at someone maybe a little bit more encouraging, hopefully. With Miriam, we don't even have any indication that she was a mother at all. Okay, and so she probably wouldn't be the best idea to look at for Mother's Day, would she? But anyway, we'll be looking at someone else today in the New Testament. A woman which we know very little about. That's kind of one of the qualifications for the series, right? Some of the lesser known characters. And so a woman that we know little about, she's only mentioned in this passage that we're at today and in Acts chapter 16. That's the only two mentions of her in the Bible. And they are very brief. But we can learn a lot from her because she left behind a legacy. And we're going to be learning about a woman by the name of Eunice. Anyone ever hear of Eunice in the Bible? Eunice? We'll be looking at her today, so 2 Timothy, we're going to begin in chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll read down through verse number 7. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, so much for this time that we get to spend together. We thank you, Lord, for your word that we can dive into, Lord, and all these examples that we found in Scripture from these lesser known characters, Lord, and how they've encouraged us. And some of them have warned us and cautioned us, Lord. But I thank you for all these characters. And we pray, Lord, that we can learn lessons from them, Lord, and that we can grow from it, Lord, and that we can be encouraged in our walk with you, Lord. And I pray asking you that you would just bless this reading. And I pray, Lord, that you bless this message. that you would guide and direct my thoughts and my words, Lord, that I could say that which is needful and helpful and accurate, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with each person here, they would get from it exactly that which they need, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the day that we have to celebrate mothers, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for what a blessing they are, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, ask you, Lord, help us encourage them today. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this passage, most people probably don't even know that there is a eunuch in the Bible. Okay. Whenever I think of eunuch, at least from the culture that I come from, eunuch is an old name that's rarely used anymore. You think of eunuch, it's like an old woman in a nursing home. It's like a name that people don't name their kid anymore. And that's what we think of with eunuch. You don't think about eunuch in the Bible. But eunuch was someone here that, even though they were a minor character, they played a major role in Scripture. You don't realize what a role that eunuch plays until you actually look a little bit deeper into this, like we're going to today. But anyway, I want to get back in Scripture just a little bit, get the context of this, get caught up on who Eunice is and what her role was in Scripture. All right? Y'all on board with me? Okay, so this is where we're going today. So with Eunice here, she was a Jewish believer, or she was a Jew at first. She was a Jew. She was married to a Gentile. She lived in a place called Lystra, or Lystra. And on Paul's first missionary journey, which, of course, he had three, on his first missionary journey, he stopped at this city, Lystra, and while he was there, he healed a lame man, and after he healed the lame man, people from the city wanted to worship him. He just narrowly escaped being worshipped as a god. Okay, talk about a high point in ministry, maybe, someone actually thinking so much of you, they were ready to worship you, right? But it didn't last long, because it wasn't too long until Jews came stirring up trouble and raising up a riot against Paul, and they went from wanting to worship him to actually stoning him and leaving him for dead at Lystra. But in that city of Lystra dwelt Eunice and Lois and Timothy. And we find that Eunice was more concerned with following God than she was concerned with following the edicts of her religion at the time. And so she was looking for the Messiah, and whenever Paul came preaching of Jesus, she believed, she accepted, and she followed Christ. And so as she did this, she was a believer, and she was leading her family to believe as well. And so Paul, after being stoned, he had to leave town. He went about going on to other places, preaching in other places. But on his second missionary journey, he came back to Lystra. You can figure he probably wrote this off as a lost cause, basically, because what would you think if you got there and they stoned you and left you for dead? You think, oh yeah, that was really a successful stop along the trail, wasn't it? No, it wasn't successful. I almost died, right? But nonetheless, he comes back on his second missionary journey, and while he is there, he meets Timothy. Okay, and Timothy, no doubt, had been there. He had seen Paul be beaten. He had heard him preach, but he'd seen him be beaten, seen him be left for dead, seen him have to leave town and go to the next place. But whenever Paul came back, people came to Paul and they said, there is a faithful disciple here by the name of Timothy. And he was referred to Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul took him under his wing. And Timothy began to follow Apostle Paul. Imagine this, okay? Timothy, after seeing all the things that happened, after seeing the treatment that Paul suffered, he says, yeah, I think I want to throw my lot in with him. That takes faith, doesn't it? And so Timothy has seen all the things that befell Paul and still desired to go with Paul. And so Timothy did. He went with Paul and became his most constant traveling companion, one of his most important companions, the one that he would send whenever there was trouble, the one that he would leave behind to establish churches, the one that he would send to carry important messages, and the one that he would desire whenever Paul was discouraged or alone. He'd say, Timothy, come to me. Paul refers to Timothy time after time as his son in the faith. He's not his son by blood, but he's his son son in the faith. See, Paul's the one that led him to the Lord, but he said, I've brought you into myself. You are my disciple. You are now as a son to Apostle Paul. And so Timothy became a key component of Paul's ministry. And whenever Paul left the scene, whenever he died and went off into glory, Timothy picked up the baton and kept going. He pastored many churches. He was the one that Paul wrote to, and several of the books of the Bible that we have are interactions between Paul and Timothy, where Timothy had his hand in some way. But how is it that that relationship came about? How is it that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about these things? It's because of a woman named Eunice and the faith that she had and that she passed down to her children. You see the effect that she has had, an effect that has reached all the way up to our day to day, all the way up to this very service that we're in. This woman's faith has made an impact. And so even though she is just a minor character in Scripture, she played a huge role, because what would have happened if Eunice was not a woman of faith? Where would Timothy have been? Who would have filled that gap? Who would have been there in that place? There's so much that we wouldn't have today if it wasn't for Eunice, right? And so anyway, as we look at all these things, we find that she was a very important, very major character in Scripture, though we don't see very much about her throughout Scripture. And so where Timothy got this faith to where he would follow God wherever God would lead him, and that he would be strengthened to such a point that he would follow all the way throughout his life, consistently all the way to the end. We find no record of Timothy ever stopping. We find him never leaving the faith, but I have complete certainty that Timothy stuck with the stuff all the way to his dying breath. Where did he get that faith? Where did he get that ability? Where did he get that courage? Paul credits it to his mother. Look back at verse number 5 again. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy mother Lois." So he says the faith that is in you came from your mother. Did you see that? "Which dwelt first in thy mother, or in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." This is a beautiful picture if we can get a hold of this. This idea of faith passing down and spanning generations. Because Lois passed it to Eunice. Eunice passed it to Timothy. And Timothy passed it to the world. You get that? And so Paul remembered the faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother, and said that that same faith was in Timothy. That's where it came from. So today I want to consider the importance of a mother's faith. Okay? As Christians, faith is eminently important. We looked at that through Sunday school, right? We talked about faith in Sunday school. Saw it in detail. We should strive to be faithful. And one of the greatest gifts that we can give our children is our faith. Right? If we're not careful, we look around and we compare, we contrast. In the age of social media, we see everybody else's seemingly perfect parentage. We see people who seem to be getting it right over and over again, and we start feeling like failures, right? Whenever this family has it all together, and they're doing this with their children and that with their children, and they're all these different activities, all these things on social media, you look at other families that seem to be doing so much better than yourself, and you feel as if you're a failure as a parent, right? You ever been there? What we're looking at today is what's the most important thing. It's not all these other things. It's not this fake facade that other people paint on just for social media, just for publicity, whatever. But instead, the most important thing that you can give your children is your faith. Okay? Doesn't matter if there's nothing else. Doesn't matter if you can't give them designer clothes or the latest gadgets or anything else. Doesn't matter if you feel as if you're failing in everything else. The most important thing that you can give to your children is a strong faith in Christ. Okay? And so we're going to look at Eunice today and see what it was about her faith that made it so great, that made it so important, that made it so effective, that gave it this everlasting impact, everlasting effect that it did. And the first thing that we're going to find as we look at this, as we look at Eunice's faith, is that it was personal. It was personal. It was her faith. She took possession of it, right? She took possession of it. In order for you to pass something on, you have to first possess it, don't you? You have to make it your own. She wasn't going on somebody else's faith. She wasn't just going through the motions of what had been left on her. But at one point in time, the faith of her mother Lois became Eunice's faith. Okay? She had seen it demonstrated. She'd seen it walked out. She had seen how things were going there. And she said, I'm making it my own. And so it had to become personal. You can't pass it on until it becomes personal. Okay? And I believe this starts off with salvation. A person needs to first and foremost, this is our beginning of our walk of faith, is we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We make it personal. It becomes ours. It's not just a faith. It's not just the faith. It is my faith. My faith and trust in Jesus Christ is my faith in Him as my Savior. Is my faith in Him after that, each and every day of my life, Him to order my steps, to guide my life. It is my faith. Now, I don't want us to get confused as we're looking at this and confuse the idea of faith as in trust in God and faith as in the Christian faith, okay? But because after all, what is the Christian faith? It's trust in God. It all comes together, doesn't it? And so our walk with God, our faith begins at salvation. And that's whenever you make the faith personal. I put personal trust, personal faith, and belief in Jesus Christ as my Savior. From that point on, He is my Savior. I am trusting Him in my personal life. I'm trusting Him to order my steps. I am trusting Him to guide and direct me. I'm trusting Him to work His will in my life. It is a personal faith. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we find that Eunice had a personal faith. She had a relationship with the God of the Word, with Christ Himself. Okay? And so first and foremost, it had to be personal. As I said, you can't exhibit what you don't have. You can't pass on what you don't have. And so as a parent, you want to give your kids the best. You want them to have every advantage in life. Make sure that you give them a parent that knows the Lord, that has a faith in Jesus Christ Himself. If you want to give them all the advantages in the world, that is the greatest one that you can give them. The second thing that we find is not only was her faith personal, it was visible. It was visible. James tells us in his epistle that a faith without works is dead, being alone. A lot of people misunderstand that passage, but what he is telling them, as the Jews are being dispersed abroad, as they're traveling all over the place because of persecution, they are tempted to go into hiding and have an invisible faith, become undercover Christians. And James tells them that a faith without works is dead, being alone. It is worthless. It's lifeless. It has nothing to offer. It has no impact. Okay? And so whenever we look at Eunice here, apparently her faith was visible. Because as Paul is looking back and he's thinking back at his time with Lystra, he's not thinking about being stoned and beaten and left for dead. He's thinking about the faithful believers there. He had seen faith manifested in their life. It was visible. It was very apparent that they were trusting and following God. And so because of this, he's bringing it back to remembrance long after she's dead and gone. Notice there, it's past tense in verse number 5. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. He's looking back and he's saying, you come from a faithful heritage. I've seen it. It's been visible to me. And so he remembered it. It wasn't some abstract concept, but it was something that he could see in their life. It made itself visible. It manifested itself in her speech and in her actions. It made a difference in how she conducted herself, how she viewed the world, and how she cared for others. We may not have a lot of details of her actions and her acts that she committed. We may not be able to see into a daily life or the day in the life of Eunice, but we can tell that other people saw her faith. It was visible. Another New Testament example of this is whenever Jesus told his disciples not to put their light under a bushel, right? We sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. What's he saying? Your faith needs to be visible. It's no good if no one can see that you are a believer. It's no good if no one can see God working in your life, if your faith is invisible. And so as parents and as mothers, the greatest gift you can give your children, the greatest advantage you can ever give. You may feel like you're failing in every other place in this world, but if you can give them a faith that's personal, if you can give them a faith that is visible. The third thing that we look at here is her faith was authentic. It was authentic. It was real. Okay? And so this might sound very similar to the previous points, but it's different in an important way. Notice that Paul says here in this passage that it was an unfeigned faith. Okay? An unfeigned faith. That means it was genuine. It was authentic. It was not fake. Okay? We've all met Christians who could put on a facade. We've all met Christians that knew how to act the part. Fake Christianity, right? And that does no one any good. Their kids watch their inconsistency. They see him act one way on Sunday and a different way all throughout the week. Right? And they realize the faith that they claim to have isn't authentic. It isn't real. And so, I'll tell you, that type of faith doesn't get passed on. You know what? They might catch on to the fake faith, but they're not going to have a real, authentic, vibrant Christianity unless they see it modeled by their parents. Right? Then on the other hand, there's others that's going to make sure that their faith is visible because they want everyone to see it. We have the example of the Pharisee and the publican praying in the temple, right? The Pharisee showed up in the temple and he prayed so that everyone could see his faith was visible, right? But it was hypocritical. It was self-righteous, self-congratulatory, right? And that does no one any good. That's not what we're talking about whenever our faith is visible. We find that Jesus talks about the Pharisees, that they love the greetings in the marketplace. They enlarged their phylacteries. They made long their fringes on their robes. All these different things to be seen of men. They tithed of all these things. They gave great and abundant gifts for being seen of men. This isn't what I'm talking about by making our faith visible. We need a real, authentic, day-by-day, walking step-by-step faith, whether it's being seen by the multitudes or seen only by our families. We need a genuine faith. We need it to be authentic. So make sure your faith is authentic. Make sure it's real. That means that sometimes it's going to be messy. Sometimes we struggle, but at the end of the day, make sure you're depending on Christ every step of the way and that your faith isn't something contrived or made up. It isn't something shallow or something you put on whenever it's convenient or beneficial, but something that you walk in day by day on the good days and on the bad, on Sundays and every other day of the week, that it is a part of you. Make sure your faith is authentic. Fourth thing that we find here is that her faith was desirable. It was desirable. What I mean by that is Timothy had been watching his parents. He had been watching his mom. And he had seen her go through struggles and through difficulties. Life isn't all roses, right? He had seen her living day by day in her faith. And at the end of the day, he said, I want what she has. He desired it. Even whenever the Apostle Paul came to town and he was beaten and abused and everything else, he said, in spite of all the difficulties, in spite of everything else, he says, I want that faith. I want that faith in me that was modeled by my mother and by my grandmother. I want to walk in that faith. I want to make it personal. I desire it for myself. It was desirable. We don't have that many details about how she went about doing that. But we do know that Timothy saw her example and desired it. And honestly, if your faith is personal, if it is visible, if it is authentic, it's also going to be desirable. We have to watch out as Christians and as parents how we present Christ, especially how we present it to our children, because our children do see us in the worst of times. They see us in the in and outs of every day. It's easy when we leave the house and we go to town. It's easy to put on a facade, but our children see us every day. They're going to see if it's authentic, but they're also going to see how you represent Jesus. And is your faith desirable? Do they want the kind of faith that you have? The kind of faith they're seeing you live day to day? Our faith needs to be desirable. I'm not saying make it fake, but I'm saying make it real. Put it fully and wholly in Jesus. Make sure it's authentic, and it will be desirable. And so that brings us to our fifth point. Going through these quickly because, hey, it's Mother's Day, right? The fifth thing is that her faith was transferable, and this is what we've been dancing around all along. We've been looking at this idea of her passing her faith onward to others. And faith is one thing that we can have, that the more that we give it away, the more of it we have. It multiplies by dividing, right? As I give out my faith increases. And so her faith was transferable. Lois passed it to Eunice. Eunice passed it to Timothy. And I said earlier, Timothy passed it all around, all through the region, everywhere that he went. He pastored several churches. He ministered in several cities. He encouraged Apostle Paul. He did all these different things, and his faith that he had received from Eunice was passed on to so many people. It was transferable. And so is your faith transferable? Are you seeking to pass it on? A faith that is personal, visible, and authentic, and desirable, is transferable. I've told you all the story many times. It's been a while since I've said it. But there was a testimony. Someone had gave me a CD back when people still use CDs, okay? They gave me a CD of a testimony of a guy who was raised as a Catholic. And he came in contact with a boy whenever he was in school who was a Christian, who was born again. And he befriended this guy, and he started to admire his friend's faith. He compared it with the dead religion that he was in, and what he kept coming back to is he said, he has something that I don't, and I want it. Y'all remember me saying that? Mm-hmm. It was desirable, wasn't it? And guess what? It was transferable because the guy ended up getting saved. And instead of being raised up into the priesthood, he became a pastor and preached the gospel all across the United States, okay? And so there was a huge difference in direction there because the faith was transferable. The sixth and last thing that we have here is her faith was transcendent. And what I mean by that, transcendent means that it goes beyond the normal limits. It goes beyond what you normally would expect. And so Eunice was a nobody in Scripture. I think we can all admit that, right? Just a footnote in God's Word. Doesn't really say a whole lot about her. So she was a no one in Scripture, but her faith touched so many people. It went to Timothy. It was passed throughout the lands that he ministered to. It enabled Timothy to help and encourage Paul. It put Timothy in a place to receive Paul's letters. And it extends all the way down to us. And who would ever think that Eunice, a little Jewish mother living in a Gentile city 2,000 years ago, would have such an impact on the world because of her faith? It's amazing what God can do with someone who is faithful. It's amazing what he can do in our lives, and he can take our little bit of faith and he can multiply it. And we have no idea what God might do through us in our faithfulness. You might think of yourself as just a mother. You've got dishes to wash, and you've got kids to feed, and you've got clothes to clean, and you go to your job, and you do this, and you do that, and you think, well, what is it ever going to benefit? Who is it going to touch? What kind of results will it have? What kind of impact will it have for the kingdom of God? Look at Eunice, as we still read about her 2,000 years ago. She was just the mom, right? She was just the mom. And I don't say that in a derogatory manner. She was just a mom. And look at what God did as she simply lived her faith day in and day out in her family. And she passed it on to her children. And her children caught on to that and passed it on. And it spread all throughout the region. It filled the pages of Scripture. And it landed on our laps this morning. Because just the mom was just faithful. We don't know what God is going to do in our lives. The small steps of faith that you make today can ripple out into huge effects, huge impacts, years or even generations out. You don't have any control over this part, except for you can be you can be sure that your faith is personal. You can be sure that it's visible. You can be sure that's authentic and desirable and transferable, right? But you have no control over the effects. That's God's territory, isn't it? What he's going to do with it. And so if you do these things, if you are authentic in your faith, if you're living it out real day to day, God can do great things with it. For every Christian that made history, for every preacher that turned the world upside down with the gospel, there were many different Eunices in behind them who were never even going to know about. But it never would have happened if it wasn't for them, right? No doubt each and every one of us are here today, not just because of our mothers, but each and every one of us are here today because of Eunices and Loises who were just faithful. Just living out the faith day by day, and as a result, the gospel has come to us, and we have joined in with the faith. See how important it is? See how God weaves it all together? So don't ever think that you are just this or just that, or that your little corner that you're in is unimportant and can't affect things, because your faith can be transcendent. As you live for God, he can take it and he can make impossible things happen. I want to say also, we're talking a lot about mothers, we're talking a lot about faith, and each and every one of us come from different backgrounds spiritually. Some of you have, some of you have come through Christian homes, some of you haven't. And honestly, it doesn't matter, okay? Because you can't change where you come from, you can't change your experience. But I will say one thing that you can do is you can make sure, starting now, that there is a heritage of faith. That you may not have grown up in a family, you may not have grown up with a Eunice, but you can make sure that your children do. And that your grandchildren do, right? And the last thing I want to bring out, I said earlier that this has to be a personal faith. It has to be a personal possession. And so if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, it'd be a great day to do that. If you never put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, if you never came to the place that you realized that you were a sinner in need of a Savior, today would be a day, a good day, to place your faith in him. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but it also tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It tells us that by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we receive salvation by faith. And Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior, today would be a great day to do it. I've said all along that the greatest gift a parent can ever give their child is to walk in the faith. But the greatest gift a child can give their parent is to take up the faith. To look at their parent and say, I want what they have. And make it personal. I'm not saying ride on your parents' coattails. I'm saying the faith that they have has proven itself and say, I want what they have. And make it personal. And make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And walk and follow him by faith. You can do that today. And I challenge you, wherever you find yourself today, you come back to this idea of faith. Make sure your faith is personal. Make sure that it's personal. Make sure that it's authentic. Make sure that it's visible. Make sure that it's real, yes. Make sure that it's transferable. And just sit back and watch and see what God does as he makes it transcendent. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, we do thank you for this example that we have in Scripture of this woman named Eunice. Lord, I just pray, ask you, Lord, just to help us to learn from this and see the importance of having a real faith, a personal faith, a visible faith, an authentic faith, Lord. And Lord, help us to pass it on, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you would take our little mustard seed of faith, Lord, and that you would multiply it, Lord, that you would cause it to exceed all of our expectations, Lord, and reach into the lives of others and into generations coming, Lord, and make an impact, Lord. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you so much, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for your Son that has come in blood and died for us. We thank you for salvation, for forgiveness of sin. We thank you for our home in heaven, our blessed hope, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord. And we do thank you for mothers today as well. And we just pray that you be at our time, our fellowship together. And Lord, we thank you so much for all you do. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.